Today is Thursday, February 28th. We're talking results from the two-day summit with North Korea's leader and what two countries are on the brink of war. Plus, Chicago makes history, a teen video app in trouble, and A Star is Born is back in theaters. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview. We're talking all about drones, from airport dangers to Amazon deliveries. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. No agreement reached, but more talks to come. That's the result of the two-day summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam. Day one was dinner and small talk. Day two, which actually happened overnight U.S. time, is when the real negotiations began. Early on in the talks, Kim Jong-un answered an American journalist's question, likely for the first time ever, saying he would not be there if he wasn't open to denuclearization. But it seems the two leaders could not come to a compromise, and plans for a joint agreement signing ceremony were scrapped. Still, the AP reports the White House press secretary called the meetings, quote, very good and constructive. And at a news conference, President Trump said he'd rather do it right than do it fast. The U.S. sanctions were apparently a sticking point. The Hill reports many people had low expectations from the get-go, given North Korea's history of deception. Stay tuned for what happens next and any possible future talks. Today, President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, sits down for his third and final day of testimony, but today it'll be behind closed doors. Yesterday, in front of Congress and news cameras, Cohen said he was not protecting the president anymore. He publicly called Trump a liar, a racist, and a con man. Under oath, Cohen said Trump knew and even reimbursed him for payments meant to cover up sexual allegations against Trump by two women, payments that some believe are campaign finance violations. He showed a check for the amount from Trump to Cohen, claiming that's evidence. Another big moment in the testimony came when Cohen brought up those leaked Hillary Clinton emails before the 2016 presidential election. Cohen says Trump and his advisor, Roger Stone, knew they would be leaked days before they actually were. The AP reports it's not clear how much of a legal problem that might be for the president. But when it comes to Russia's interference in the 2016 election, Cohen said he does not have any direct evidence that the Trump administration colluded with Russia, just that he has his suspicions. Well, President Trump is responding even from out of the country. He took to Twitter saying Cohen was lying to reduce his prison time. And during the testimony, Republicans took aim at Cohen's credibility. Cohen is starting a 3-year prison sentence this May. Tensions are growing between Pakistan and India, causing concerns there could be a war. And keep in mind, these are neighboring countries that both have nuclear weapons. Reuters reports both countries claim they shot down each other's military planes. And now the U.S. is stepping in, calling on both sides to, quote, de-escalate the situation. The BBC says India wants Pakistan to release its fighter pilot because Pakistan posted, then deleted, a video of the captured pilot with a blindfold on. The day before, India launched airstrikes on Pakistan, and the back and forth continues. The countries are also at odds because they both claim all of the territory of Kashmir as their own, although each only controls parts of it. Leaders from both countries are saying they should sit down and talk, that they don't want things to get worse, and some social media users have started using the hashtag #SayNoToWar. Back in the U.S., history is being made in Chicago. It was the most crowded ballot in Chicago ever with 14 candidates, but now for the first time, Chicago's next mayor will be a black woman. USA Today reports it's between Lori Lightfoot and Toni Preckwinkel. They got first and second place in Tuesday's election, and now it heads to a runoff in early April. The Chicago Tribune says Lightfoot could also become Chicago's first openly gay or lesbian mayor. Oregon is about to become the first state in the nation to put a limit on how much landlords can raise rent. NPR reports lawmakers are just waiting on the governor's signature, but she has said she supports it. Assuming she signs it and the bill becomes law, it'll allow landlords to raise rent no more than 7% a year in addition to inflation. Supporters say it'll protect renters during a housing crisis. Critics say it'll just make things worse, slowing investments and shrinking the housing supply. Even though Oregon would be the first state to do this, cities like New York and San Francisco already have some rent control policies in place. Much more news ahead, but first a quick break for today's sponsor, Care Of. This is a monthly subscription service that delivers personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. So this is one easy way to stick with or even start your 2019 health goals and build a daily vitamin routine. To get started, you just take Carev's easy online quiz. It took me about 5 minutes. It asks you about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle. From there, you get recommendations made just for you. I love that the results lay out the reason it chose each vitamin and supplement for me and shows research backing it up. Carev takes the guesswork out of figuring out which vitamins and which supplements you should be taking for you. And because you get convenient daily packs delivered to your door each month, it's perfect for the busy person on the go. And this month, you can take advantage of a special offer to get 50% off, yes, half off, your first month. Go to takecareof.com and enter that promo code newsworthy50. Again, for 50% off your first month, go to takecareof.com and use code newsworthy50. Now, back to the news. The popular video app TikTok is in some legal trouble, and now all kids will be asked to verify their age. TechCrunch reports the FTC fined the company $5.7 million for violating U.S. children's privacy laws. All kids under 13 will now be taken to a more restricted version of the app that's supposed to protect their information and doesn't let them publish videos. TikTok was originally known as Musical.ly. Big news from Tesla is expected this afternoon, but we don't know exactly what it'll be. Fox Business says CEO Elon Musk teased some Tesla news on Twitter without providing any details. But at the same time, Musk is still dealing with some possible legal trouble himself. The SEC claims Musk violated their settlement and should be held in contempt. Now Forbes reports a judge gave Musk 2 weeks to prove he didn't break the agreement. Remember, Musk was already fined and removed as chairman from his company because of past tweets. Speaking of Tesla, it has some new competition. Volvo's high-end car brand Polestar just revealed its all-electric model, said to be a big competitor with Tesla's Model 3. The Verge says the Polestar 2 can travel nearly 300 miles on a single charge. CNBC reports it's also one of the first cars in the world to be powered by Google's Android system, with Google Maps and Google Assistant built in. The new electric car will cost around $45,000. Production starts in 2020. The movie A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper is coming back to the big screen, only for a week though. And this time it will have an extra 12 minutes of brand new footage. Entertainment Tonight says the new version will have an extended performance of the Oscar-winning song Shallow, plus some other extra long scenes. It's back in theaters starting tomorrow, March 1st. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. This week, we're talking about drones, the good, the bad, and how they could affect our lives in the future. And yes, we do talk about drones delivering our Amazon packages. Joining me for this conversation is a founder and co-director of the Center for the Study of the Drone at Bard College in New York State. He's also written for Wired, Vice, The Verge, Fast Company, Oxford Research Encyclopedia, and many more media outlets. And he's the author of the upcoming book, Eyes in the Sky. So here's my conversation with Arthur Holland Michel, all about drones. So I first want to talk about the state of drones today in terms of how they're used. On one hand, they do everything from take pictures to help survey damage after a disaster. But on the other hand, we have heard a lot about drones disrupting flights at airports. And there's obviously controversy about their use in the military. So what do you think the industry is doing about dealing with both the positive and negative storylines? And where does the industry stand today?
Sure. Well, what we're really seeing is that you have this fundamental sort of split between the fact that you can use the technology for all of these very positive, beneficial purposes, but also those very same tools in the wrong hands can really prompt situations that are at best, you know, annoying and disruptive, all the way to being a serious security threat. It may not even be an area where regulations can actually save you. The things that happened, at airports recently, where drones disrupted air traffic for hours on end, were clearly illegal. You know, security services, law enforcement are looking to more drastic means to address the issue through things like counter-drone technology. A lot of the larger manufacturers will build in software to their drones that prevent them from being able to fly into, for example, restricted airspace. They're also doing a lot of work to try and educate would-be drone operators about the proper ways to use the technology.
So where does that stand to actually have counter-drone technology that works well?
But the fact of the matter is, with the current technologies that exist today, there's no silver bullet. So if you're trying to spot the drone in the first place, you can use a radar, you can use cameras, you can use microphones, but all of those types of systems are not necessarily going to be able to see all drones in all cases. On the interception side, you can try and jam the signals, you can try and hack into the drone and take control of it. On the more extreme side, you can try and shoot down with a net or perhaps even a laser. But if those systems are safe for use, then they, you know, may not be as effective. And if they are really effective, it might not be the kind of thing that you'd want to do, say, over the Super Bowl, where you've got tens of thousands of people. You don't want to shoot a drone out of the sky with a laser, for example. So these are the facts of life when it comes to counter-drone technology. A lot of manufacturers would really like to come out with that silver bullet solution, and it's a race to see who actually does that.
One of the things that we hear a lot about is Amazon's idea, right, of using drones to deliver packages. And it's my understanding multiple companies at this point are testing this concept out in other countries outside of the U.S. How are those tests going? And do you think drones for everyday deliveries is actually a realistic thing that we'll see in the future?
The technology, at least from the industry perspective, is pretty much almost there. You know, the Amazon and some of these other companies will claim that, you know, they can already do that. And be that as it may, you're still going to have the fact that the regulations don't permit operations of that nature. If you look at U.S. regulations, they are fundamentally at odds with the idea of delivery drones. So I'll give you a couple of examples. In the US, you need to have one drone operator per drone, and that operator needs to be able to see the drone with their own two eyes at all times while they're flying. So the second the drone passes behind a building or behind a tree or over the horizon, you're suddenly breaking airspace rules. Well, of course, you know, an Amazon drone is going to need to go beyond the horizon. It's going to need, you know, operate alongside many other drones for every single human operator. So what we're going to have to see, in addition to the technology maturing a little more, is the regulations catching up to that. And that's a really complex task.
Let's paint the picture a little bit about what that future might look like, because I think it was a Wall Street Journal article that broke it down about a test that was happening in a remote area of Australia. And some neighbors were saying it was awesome. I could get a burrito in 30 minutes. And other people were saying my dogs were going crazy. There's constant buzzing overhead. What does that future look like if the regulations caught up?
Sure. So that article was about a Google test called Project Wing that is trying to do exactly the same thing that Amazon is trying to do at scale, you know, wide area drone deliveries. And it's true. For these concepts to work, you're going to have a very busy airspace system. So one of the fundamental questions there is what altitude these drones are going to be flying at. Because it's true, drones can be pretty noisy, and they're going to have to operate at a fairly low altitude, because if they fly too high, then they're suddenly going to be interfering with the manned air traffic space. There is talk of having certain corridors that are like aerial highways. There is also experiments with sound mitigation where the drones will actually be quieter. If all these plans pan out as intended, then you're going to see a lot of drones in the airspace, and not just for delivery. You're going to see drones doing things like inspection of roads and infrastructure and power lines. And in an even more distant future, you're going to be seeing drones do that ultimate application, which is human transportation. And what I mean by that is actually picking people up and behaving somewhat like an Uber in the sky.
So you definitely have this tug of war kind of with people who are most worried about safety and regulations, and then other people who just want to innovate and do the technology. Who do you think ultimately wins? And do you have any idea of the timeline for when the future you were talking about actually exists?
Ideally, there's some kind of compromise. There's some type of happy agreement that takes into account both the need for privacy on one hand, the need for safety tied into that, and the need for innovation and economic growth on the other hand. We've seen really positive signs between the different factions in the drone world, because ultimately they have more in common than perhaps you might think. You know, no one wants an airspace system where everyone is being intruded upon from above and where everyone is in constant danger of having a drone fall on their head. The execution of that happy compromise is the really big question mark. And I get asked all the time to stare into the crystal ball and say when we are going to have drone deliveries. Now, when Jeff Bezos unveiled the idea of Amazon drone deliveries in 2013, he said, give me 5 years. Well, we just passed the 5-year anniversary of that announcement, and we're still a ways away. You know, at the risk of being horribly wrong, I would say that it's not inconceivable that we might have to wait another 5 years or more. But it's hard to tell, because it's very possible that there's some teenager in a basement somewhere who's come up with an algorithm that cracks the code. But you also can't rule out the possibility that things are going to just have a slow incremental evolution until we finally make it to that drone-filled future.
And you'll find links to learn more about today's guest and pre-order his book, Eyes in the Sky, coming out in June, in today's show notes. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and find today's date. That's also where you'll find more about all the stories mentioned in this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, The Newsworthy is ready for you by 4 a.m. Eastern Time every weekday. We'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.